Hey, you are listening to Beyond the Sermon, Episode 8. All right, it's another episode of Beyond the Sermon. This is episode number...
Number 8.
Ocho. There we go. Hey, good deal. So glad you're tuning in with us out there in podcast land. We are at the Batcave in North River Church.
Podcast Heaven.
So sitting here with my fellow staff members, Pastor Adam Reed. What's up,
Hello.
Bud? How are you, man?
All right.
Good. Good week.
So far, so good.
Reverse that camera so they can see that pretty face.
I like it. That's good. If you're listening to the podcast, we are actually going Facebook Live right now. And so if you hear a little bit of commotion going on in the background, that's what's going on. Pastor Adam's running that. Got Pastor Scott here.
Woo!
Redheaded man of mystery.
That's right.
So that's good.
Bearded wonder.
Captain Redbeard. So, hey, good stuff. Michael Kennedy, lead pastor here at North River Church. And
Bradley's here now.
Bradley Hume?
Yeah.
Listen, I hope Bradley Hume is not working on anybody's teeth at the moment.
He makes a really good Dwight Schrute.
I saw that. Yeah, if you have not seen that picture, you make sure to go to
He's
Bradley
the
Hume's.
Only viewer is what he says.
He's the only viewer.
There we go.
The lonesome Bradley.
That's good. So, Bradley, good to see you, buddy. We love you.
So since we have one viewer, maybe you could throw us a question from the sermon, something that was meaningful that we can discuss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put it on the spot.
I like that. So we'll be listening for that. We did look at Luke chapter 1 this week in our message time, and so we focused in verses 26 through verse 38. We looked at the birth of the Savior foretold. And Scott?
Come on.
What'd you think, man?
Man, I thought it was awesome. I love Christmas. I love the Christmas season. I love everything about Christmas.
Yeah.
So I was
especially excited. Cyber Monday.
Come on, man.
Cyber Monday.
I can rock a Cyber Monday deal.
There we go.
Got thumbs up.
There we go. Thumbs up, Bradley Hume.
It's awesome.
Good stuff. So, so we talked about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and announcing to her that she would bear a son. His name would be Jesus. He would be the long-awaited Messiah that the Jewish people had been looking and longing for, that God had been promising would come since even before creation was happening. And so we kind of walk our way back through the Old Testament and realize that the Messiah had been promised, the need for a Savior because of sin entering the world in Genesis chapter 3, and then finding out that it would be Jesus, this son that would be born to Mary. Some key things that we talked about in the passage, and I wanted to... Guys, you ever feel like sometimes you just kind of miss the boat when you're speaking?
That's a daily occurrence.
You ever done that?
Yeah. Definitely been there many times before. So.
Yeah, so I walked away Sunday wishing I had a mulligan.
Oh.
You know, so it was one of those Sundays, and if you've never preached in front of a group of people... somebody said, I'm trying to remember who it was. I want to say it was a guy named H.B. Charles Jr. But he said, the truth is, as a pastor, he said, you're an atheist till about lunchtime on Monday.
Yes, seriously.
After Sunday, you're just kind of, you're just not really sure what's going on.
And
so I had one of those days on Sunday afternoon. And so we wanted to go back and really try to emphasize a couple of things that were going on in the text and try to highlight those. So anything that stuck out to you guys, Scott?
Well, I love the commonality from the previous week of just that God uses ordinary people to do unbelievable things, you know?
Yeah.
We see that with Mary, a little bit later on in the message. You just talked about the incredible trust that she had and the faith that she had. And, you know, that even when God kind of answered her question through Gabriel, he didn't really answer her question, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and she was okay with that. She just trusted. And I thought that was just really a very important part of the message Sunday. It was just, the trust, the faith in God, even when we don't know all the answers.
Yeah. One of the things that I wanted to try to shed a little bit of clarity on was I brought it up in the message about the fact that the Catholic Church worships Mary, mm-hmm. And wanted to emphasize why that is not good doctrine. And so I realized I probably wasn't as clear as I could have been and should have been. And so wanted to try to clarify that just a little bit and emphasize that reality. So here's for the Catholic Church, the way they view Mary and the reason that that they worship Mary is this doctrine that was defined by the Roman Catholic Church in 1854. It's called the Immaculate Conception. And basically it says that God preserved the Virgin Mary from the taint of original sin from the moment she was conceived. Okay, so what they're saying basically is that Mary had no original sin that was passed on to her, which we find out and realize that that in the scriptures that's not a an accurate thing. And so every single person has original sin. Every single person is born with that. That's what differentiates Jesus from us. The reason that he was able to come and be our Savior is that he did not have original sin. So I was trying to make a distinction, probably not very well on Sunday morning, that the Catholic Church worships Mary, venerated her, and believes that she's deserving of worship because they believe she didn't have original sin. And so that was the reason that that they believe that she was chosen by God in that sense. And we made the point that that she was just an ordinary person, just like any of us, an ordinary sinner, just like any of us, and yet God chose to use her as his vessel to bring the Messiah into the world. And so it's interesting as she talks about this event that's going to occur, she leaves off at the end of those verses that we covered in verse 38, and she says, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What differentiates Jesus from any of us who have been born is the fact that Jesus was conceived, the Bible tells us, by the Holy Spirit. Verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," talking to Mary here, "and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So that is the distinction between us. All of humanity that's been born has had a man and a woman in that encounter. And so, do you like that, Bradley Hume, no. as he's watching here? So.
He actually had to go back to work. So.
Oh, did he really?
But before he left.
He did make a request before okay. he left, and right. he wants you to sing Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, so, Did You Know? There we go. You know, hey, that's a good one.
Yeah, Mary, Did You Know? Written by Mark Lowry, great it's Christian true. Comedian.
Yeah. How crazy is that? Absolutely. I remember seeing Mark Lowry when I was probably 13 or 14.
So.
In Moultrie, Georgia.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember seeing him there. So
that's awesome.
That was good. So all of us as human beings have been born to a mother and father, or it was that relationship that that created us. That what's different about Jesus is that it's the Holy Spirit who comes in and comes upon Mary so that she conceives. And so the reason that Jesus is born without original sin is because of that very fact. And so we would look at this dogma, this doctrine of the Immaculate Conception put forth by the Catholic Church and say that it has no basis in Scripture, which is why Mary should not be worshipped. Mary should be looked at in the same way that any of us are looked at as servants of the Lord. So I wanted to make that clarification and emphasize that. So any thoughts on that, guys? Adam, you are hiding behind the camera. So yeah, you're looking on Facebook Live.
We'll say goodbye to Facebook Live.
Good deal. Peace out.
Yeah, so I think we did have at least one other listener, Carly.
Carly popped on as
which
well.
Which maybe we should mention that this podcast is brought to you by Carly's Cake.
Carly's cake.
Carly's chocolate cake.
Hey, I must admit, I may have eaten a slice of chocolate cake this morning.
So. Two or three.
Hey, don't, yeah, yeah. Don't tell my wife that, though. That's not good. So
you're on video now, man.
So yeah, right. It's all called.
It was like 16-layer chocolate cake.
Yes.
I mean, it was one slice, but it was 16-layer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's it. So,
you know, I think what's cool about this, and you mentioned, you know, that we see, you know, that Jesus is fully God, fully man. You know, I think what's cool to me, God could have brought his son into the world any number of ways. He can do anything he wants, but he chose to do it this way because, one, I mean, it's prophetic. He's true to his word. It's symbolic. You know, I mean, we just see it's incredible why God brought Jesus into the world in this way.
Yeah.
Because it just tells us everything about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
You know, fully God, fully man.
I think one of the things that I really enjoyed from the message was just the whole idea of God using ordinary people in ordinary times for extraordinary purposes, you know, because I think in this day and age, a lot of people look at it as like, you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I can't be used by God in this huge way, or I can't really fulfill what this big task that God has for me. But really what he is looking for is the response that Mary gave, which was, okay, I'm your servant. I'm willing to be faithful to do what you've called me to do. And you know, she was just ordinary and just going throughout her regular everyday life, and you know, because of her faithfulness, God brought about something extraordinary. He brought about his son, he brought about the savior of the world. And so I think that just really stood out to me from the message.
And thinking about it even further than that, the fact that she didn't have all the answers of what this was going to look like.
Right.
You know, she didn't have a roadmap of, you know, hey, here's what the next 9 months are going to look like, and here's what, you know, the next 33 years are going to look like with him as your son, and here's how, you know, people are going to respond to you, and all those kind of things. I mean, she didn't have any of those answers or explanations or anything, and yet still willingly said, I'll do what you need me to do. I'm your servant.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, you know, the cost to her. You know, she knew what it would cost her, you know, in society, and it's interesting. It's hard for us to even comprehend what it did cost her in this day and age, you know. But what incredible faith and trust.
Absolutely. So we've been kind of walking our way through the first chapter of the book of Luke, and so next Sunday we'll actually pick back up beginning in verse 39 and go down through verse 30 or 56. And so when Mary visits Elizabeth, and then Mary's song of praise. So Scott, challenge for you before Sunday. You ready?
Yeah,
you ready
on
for this? Can you write a song based on Mary's song of praise, and let's sing it congregationally Sunday morning?
I had an epiphany.
Did you?
This song, you know, it's been in my head. You know, my soul magnifies. Oh wait, that's Chris Tomlin.
Oh man, I was getting excited about that. So.
Oh man, I would love that. I would love to try to write a song with that.
Well, we'll have to work on that. That'll be cool. That'll be on the horizon.
When I glanced down at the scripture, I thought, man, we're not doing that song Sunday. We need to throw that in there.
There you go. That's it.
I love that.
See, listen, if you'd read ahead, you'd know what we're covering, Bob.
Absolutely. So. I gotta do my homework a little better, right?
That's it. Oh, good. Oh, so. Let me ask just a couple of questions, kind of leading into discussion about Christmas and some of those things. Of course, we're focusing in on the Christmas story and all that's involved in that on Sunday mornings. I also mentioned this past Sunday that I had put together a Christmas devotional for families to use, and I know some families in our church that are using that. I'm curious for you guys. What are some Christmas traditions that you guys with your families try to do so that you're able to focus in on Christ being the center of Christmas? So,
yeah, one that we've done, and I'm trying to remember, we talked about it yesterday, I believe. Mm-hmm. The lady that wrote the Jesus Storybook Bible,
right.
She also has an Advent, you know, for families, an Advent book, I guess you'd say. For families that we've used the past few years, that's it's been really good. Just kind of a great way to start or end the day with children, you know, remembering, what's most important about the season.
That's good. So. I like it.
Yeah, we've done some different Advent readings with our kids over the past few years, as well as just continually talking to our kids about the reason for Christmas. You know, it is about Jesus and his birth and the gift that God gave to us through his son coming as Savior. We've done things in the past, just of getting up on Christmas morning and making sure that we read the Christmas story with the kids, just kind of, again, reminding them, helping them to keep their focus on that. We've done things in the past where I think one year, Wendy and Raina and our family, we had baked a cake, like a birthday cake. Kind of cool. Did a birthday party kind of thing.
Did you sing Happy Birthday Jesus?
We did sing Happy Birthday Jesus.
Yeah, so,
you
like
know.
It.
Yeah. So, classic. You know, just kind of keeping those things in their mind and trying to keep their focus on Christ during the Christmas season.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it is, if we're not careful, we will... our kids will be bombarded by all other types of focuses on during the Christmas season. So it's important for us to emphasize that. Certainly, we work through the devotional that I wrote. That's kind of self-serving. But we do that, and then we do some family activities, focusing in on that. One of the things that Elf on the Shelf's real popular,
right.
And so our girls have always wanted an elf to do that with, and we're not against elves or anything like that. My favorite elf is Buddy.
Come on,
Buddy the Elf, baby. Yeah,
yes. So, love me some Buddy.
There we go. That's it. One of the things that we've done is, instead of having Elf on the Shelf, we kind of kidnap the first day of December our Mary and Joseph out of the nativity set that we have.
Nice.
And a little scary, isn't
it? Yeah, seriously.
We kidnap them and they begin their journey to Bethlehem.
Do you act out Liam Neeson's Taken? Like, I've got a very special
set
of skills.
That's good.
No, we try not to do that, so we don't want to scare the kids.
Yeah.
But Mary and Joseph begin their journey, and so our kids wake up every morning and they've made, part of the journey or whatever during the night and those kind of things. And so our kids wake up, every day during the month of December and are trying to figure out where Mary and Joseph have gone, But again, just something real simple and fun for them to remember the Christmas story and to realize that Mary and Joseph traveled and Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I mean, just all of those things we try to talk about and keep in front of them. So,
very cool.
Yeah, so I want to encourage families, parents that are listening, be intentional about focusing on Christ during Christmas season. And I want to encourage our families to do that. A number of ways to do that. One of the ways that I think I want to encourage our families as well, and encourage anybody that may be listening, even if you're not involved in our church, to be plugged in on Christmas Day in church.
Yeah.
And so certainly it's a stressful day to wake up and do presents and all those things. And I even know that there are some churches that have canceled service on Sunday as kind of a break or whatever since it's Christmas Day. But certainly we will we'll have Christmas Eve service. We'll have Christmas Day service as well. And we're going to be intentional at both of those times to focus in on Christ as the center of Christmas. I can't think of a better time to gather with God's people and worship together than the day that we celebrate Jesus' birth.
Mm-hmm.
And as stressful as it may be, I want to encourage you to be plugged in to your local church. Be there on Sunday morning and enjoy worshiping on his birthday. So, yeah.
So going back to Elf on the Shelf.
Elf on the Shelf, yeah.
I saw that you commented. I liked it, too.
Yeah.
Kenny Tibbetts shared the Babylon Bee article,
yes,
or a blog, local elf on the shelf repents of Pharisaic legalism. That's too good.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
I know Adam's a big fan of Babylon Bee.
Big fan of Babylon Bee.
So funny.
It's good. If you've not checked out Babylon Bee, you definitely need to.
And everything
that
on there is true, legit. I mean, it's,
yes,
it's all authentic.
Absolutely.
And if you can't gather the sarcasm in all our voices from that, there is much sarcasm in,
oh,
in
man,
that.
It's so crazy.
It's dripping off of our words right now. So
I love the one, like, worship leader caught in a Hillsong chorus bridge loop. like he can't get out. He's just stuck.
That's
in it,
awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
So funny.
That's good. That's a lot of fun. So yeah, you ought to subscribe to that blog for sure and follow that. So guys, any current events? Anything going on outside of Christmas season? You guys know about?
That's a great question, man. Is there anything going on? I don't know.
You should ask.
I saw on the news Obama is in Tampa today. So,
oh, really?
True story.
Yeah.
I saw that earlier.
So traffic's probably a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Every road shut down.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. Man. But
I know
I close on my house in like 10 days from now.
Man, that is exciting.
So we sell our house up in Georgia, and so we're...
That's a great Christmas present.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, that's perfect. That's good. So still praying for Scott's house to sell.
It'll get there eventually.
That's right. Or either a fire to burn it down.
Hey, we'll take it.
What?
No,
we didn't say that.
Hopefully my insurance guy's not listening.
That's it. Yeah, we certainly hope that's the case. So,
goodness.
Good deal. So let me ask you guys on this. Have you started Christmas shopping? And if you have started, are you done?
We're basically done.
Basically done. Okay.
Megan is like, she's so early with it. I mean, by December 1, she's 95% done.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great.
So we're getting there.
We have started. We've done some online shopping, and then Wendy and I did some shopping last Friday, and we still have some things that we need to pick up. But but we're moving along. So
that's good.
We'll make it.
I think we've got two presents left to buy,
nice,
and we'll be done.
Our problem this year, Megan and I both bought presents for each other. Unfortunately, we keep giving the presents to each other like before Christmas. Like, she gave me like two or three presents because, oh, I thought you'd go ahead and use this, you know.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't mean to, but she already opened two presents that I got for her.
Yeah.
So I need to do a little bit more shopping, evidently.
That's good. That's good. So let me ask this. If Santa may be listening what is the one gift that you would love to have, but that you would not buy for yourself?
Man.
How about that? We'll toss that out
That's
there for you guys to think through.
Is there a price range here?
This
is my problem with Christmas.
Relatively speaking,
this is my problem with Christmas presents. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom was, you know, literally the last few days. I don't know what to get you. Give me something to get you. You know. So today, Adam walked in. I was literally listening to different guitar, you know, electric pedal demonstrations, trying to find something, you know.
All right, that's music nerd alert.
I found one pedal. I'm like, ooh, I'll get that. You know?
That's it.
It really is. Music
now, how many
nerd
pedals can you? Can you have it one time in the setup?
You can have a number.
I mean,
you've seen those big pedal boards.
Oh, wow.
But I feel like I'm in the same boat because I have, you know, my mom keeps asking, hey, what can we get for you for Christmas?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things of just trying to figure that out. Mm. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
That's the problem with music gears. It's expensive.
So expensive,
I mean,
yeah.
It really is. It's like, you know.
And that's one of the things that, like, Wendy and I, for years now, we haven't really bought each other gifts. We would rather take the money that we've spent on a gift for one another and do an experience together or a trip together. And so that's just kind of what we've done for the past few years. We haven't necessarily, outside of some coffee makers, we do buy a lot of coffee makers because we keep breaking them. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what we've done. Just look for something that we would like to do together.
Yeah.
And then go and, you know, whether it be a day trip or, you know, a couple of days or whatever, and do that activity together.
That's cool.
Janie and I bought one another patio furniture for our new house.
Nice.
Yes. So that's what we did. And
chilling on the lanai.
You're doing better than Scott and Bethany Johnson. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Don't you remember what Scott said that he got Bethany for?
I do. Scott, if you're listening, which you usually do. We have something that we can hold over your head from now on.
We won't say what it was.
Yeah.
All of our listeners need to ask Scott Bethany what Scott got Bethany for Christmas.
For Christmas.
Oh, I remember now.
That's it. Yeah, you remember that now?
I couldn't remember.
So. That's good. So let's do this real quick. Curious, favorite growing up family tradition at Christmas time that you guys had?
Mine is easy because we did it every year. We'd go to Callaway Gardens to Fantasy and Lights.
Oh, yeah.
And do
yeah.
the Jolly Trolley with Snowflake the Horse.
Nice.
So I'm not going to lie.
Hot chocolate. Yes.
It's a little tough not to do it this year. It really is. We've done it, I think we probably did it, I don't even know, 20 years straight or something crazy. Megan, not quite as sold on that tradition as I am, but I love it. Speaking of Christmas lights, rode through near Adam's neighborhood last night, Kingsville Lakes, has some incredible Christmas light displays.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, just awesome.
We'll have to check that out. Yeah.
So just for our family right now, we have a couple of traditions, and one of this came from Wendy's family growing up. They call Christmas Eve, so the day before Christmas Eve, which would be the 23rd, they call that Christmas Adam because Adam comes before Eve. And so,
sweet.
And so on Christmas Adam, we always get pizza. That's like the tradition that's there. Very then on Christmas Eve, a lot of times after the Christmas Eve services at church, we'll pick the kids up, we'll change them into their pajamas, and then we go to Waffle House. I don't know why that is, but they get to go to Waffle House in their pajamas and have Christmas Eve, get their bellies full so that when they go home, they're a little bit tired.
go to sleep. There you go. That's good. We've actually done that as well for some period of time. After Christmas Eve service, we'd go to Waffle House and eat Christmas Eve. And then probably my favorite one growing up is that we would exchange one present. Wow, I'm not sure you could hear that in the microphone, but the storm is a brewing outside the podcast heaven right now.
Sounds like it's hailing out there.
Yeah, it really does. So a bit scary, but we would exchange one present Christmas Eve, and usually it was something pajama related, or you know. Coat or boxers or something, you know, something like that. So, that was a lot of fun. So we still do that with our girls now.
That was something that we did as well growing up, was to exchange that. And then my mom would always, it was like one of the times that we would gather around the dining room table and we'd eat off the Christmas dishes and candlelight and all that sort of stuff. So that was always a fun night to do.
That's good. So we certainly encourage you make traditions. Mm-hmm. It's fun to for those to pass from one generation to the next, and that's a lot of good fun there. So worship this week, Scott, what you got?
Yeah, so we're starting and ending with Christmas.
We're
doing a little non-Christmas in between.
But
there's a third day arrangement of Angels We Have Heard on High. Which is really good. And then the non-Christmas set, Matt Redman, We Are the Free, and Chris Tomlin's Our God. And then doing another Tomlin, Glory in the Highest.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's funny, he has a Christmas version and a kind of a, you know, non-seasonal version of that.
Gotcha.
But obviously doing the Christmas version. And then the Paul Balash, he has a Your Name Christmas edition. That we'll do Sunday as well.
So, cool.
And Matt might just have to throw in My Soul Magnifies the Lord. Maybe
there
the
we
front,
go.
The front end or something.
There you go. I like that.
That'd be really good. Man.
That sounds good. So. That's good. Like I said, we'll jump into beginning verse 39 of Luke chapter 1 and carrying through verse 56. So
nice.
That's where we'll find ourselves this coming week. So
have we already mentioned Christmas Eve times? I know you mentioned the...
Yeah, no, Christmas Eve schedule will be 5 p.m. And we'll go for probably 45, 50 minutes on Christmas Eve. And then we'll come back Christmas morning at 10. And again, go about 45 minutes to 50 minutes. Kids will be in the service both times with us. And so we'll have a couple of exciting things for them during both services. And So I want to encourage you to make sure you're here with your kids on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning.
You did say I could wear my Buddy the Elf pajamas Christmas morning, right?
Absolutely. You're good, man.
Scotty the Elf.
Scotty the Elf.
I like it. That'll be perfect.
I'll resemble that remark, actually.
We'll actually also do communion on Christmas morning. And so it'll be, that's how we'll end the service out.
That'll be great.
And of course, Christmas Eve will be a candlelight at the end. That's how we'll end it, Christmas Eve. So. Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun. I want to encourage you to come on out Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Don't be just a Christmas Ever. So we'll talk bad about you.
Don't be a Christmas Eve. That's great.
Oh, that's good. So Christmas Adamer.
That's right.
There we go. That's good.
Be a Christmas Adamer.
All right. Well, we're going to shut down Beyond the Sermon, episode 8. Ocho.
From the Ocho.
Yeah, there we go. So we'll pick back up next week. Hope you have a good week. And do something this week to point people to Jesus this time of year.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Later.
Have a great week.